Well, Father, we just come before you with thankful hearts and rejoicing, knowing that the glory of God is in us by your Spirit. We are grateful for the Spirit. We are grateful for the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling us, living in us, bringing us into your presence daily. And Father, we thank you that you knew the right thing to do was to deliver to us the Holy Spirit so that we could walk with you and know you and you would know us from the inside out. So we ask you, Lord God, to show us what it is to walk in the Spirit. Amen. To walk with Jesus. To not be afraid of everyday circumstances. To not be flustered or thrown a curve by those things which come our way. Because you said in this world we're going to have trouble, tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we give you glory and praise and thanks in Jesus' name, asking you to show us your promises in your word as it relates to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. You know, the Holy Spirit was given so the gospel would be preached to the whole world. You know, the disciples probably were thinking, hey, we got this. You know, there's 12 of them, and there was Jesus, and they were going all over the place. And they were going from place to place to place to place. You know, if you've ever watched the Chosen thing, one of the episodes was that they were baptizing and healing everybody, and Jesus was baptizing, and the guys were all having to baptize everybody, and they were doing it in shifts, according to this episode, and they were just like, at the end of the day, they were just like, oh my gosh, they couldn't even handle one day's worth. They could not even handle one day's worth, you know, and they were ready then to rule the world, you know, for Jesus. Yeah. You remember, you know, hey, Lord, can we sit on your right hand or your left hand? Yeah, but who's going to do all the work? You know, if y'all are doing all that. So to reach the entire world, even though it took 12 guys, it took 12 guys filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. It took 12 guys filled with the Holy Spirit. 12 guys couldn't change the world, but the Holy Spirit could change the world with one guy. Amen? Amen. So that's what he did. He's, you know, and of course, you know, you remember the story, we'll get to it here, is how the Holy Spirit was brought into the mix, is that Jesus began to relate to them early on that he was going to be going to be killed. He was going to go. And then go, of course, as he's coming into the dinner at the Last Supper, you know, he begins to introduce the idea to them of the Holy Spirit. But I want to start back here in Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias and he said, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Well, I like how that relates, right, one sentence right after the other, that he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he will turn many hearts to the Lord. How powerful is that? Is that what the Holy Spirit does? You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will use that to bring many hearts. A person, a man, a woman filled with the Holy Spirit, he will bring many to the Lord. And that's what that was John's ministry. And it says he will be great. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts, here it is, of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. All right? Amen. Amen. So that's the ministry of John. that he's going to bring many. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a predecessor to you, isn't it? Because John was not the Son of God. John was a man. He was the last in the line of those who were in the Old Testament, bringing in the Holy Spirit, operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, anointed for a purpose, for such a purpose, where the Holy Spirit then, you know, was on that person for the purpose of that ministry. You and I have the Holy Spirit abiding in us because we're in the new covenant. Is our spirits have been made pure by faith in the Lord Jesus. And so therefore our spirits, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us because we're born again. We're born from above. The Holy Spirit is in you. So you meditate upon that. Amen? You meditate upon that. You don't go, oh, well, I guess I don't have the Spirit today. No, it's not true. It's not true. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. And so you remember that. It's like, tell me the brother's name again.
Larry.
Larry, the Holy Spirit lives in you, brother. He needs to remember that. He needs to be encouraged with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, somebody says, okay, well, if you sin, you break fellowship with God. Yeah, but he's not in there. He's not there. He's in you. He is in you. Just because you sin doesn't mean some denominations say, yeah, oh, the Holy Spirit left you. No. Or you became unsaved when you sinned or sinned bad. Maybe you sinned a little. He didn't quite leave. He didn't go out the door. But boy, if you sin bad, the Holy Spirit, you got to start all over again. It's not true. Amen. All right, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 6, John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe, through the light, all through him, that's Jesus, the light, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lights every man who comes into the world. And John bore, verse 15, look down there. John 15 and John 1:15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So John was sent to bear witness of the light. Amen? He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and then he was sent to bear witness of the light. The first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness of the light. Is to bear witness of the light. So the Holy Spirit is in you bearing witness of the light. As we worship Him and spend time in His presence, the Holy Spirit is causing you to be a witness. You are a demonstration. You have the light of God. Remember, the face of Moses shone as he came out of the presence of God. Your face shines as you come from the presence of God. Amen? So again, all of these things are the encouragement to you is that because you are born from above, because the Holy Spirit is residing on the inside of you, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and He is residing in you and abiding in you to be a witness of you. Be aware that when you step out the door, not by your behavior, but when you step out the door, people see that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. You are a witness, not only by your words, not only by your deeds, but just by the presence of God. Amen? They took knowledge of Peter and John because they were unlearned, and they were not bright guys in the world. They were not guys who had been carrying around their degrees and of how they had lots of knowledge and lots of creds, you know, for their ability. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How do they do these things? How do they speak the way they speak? These guys were Jesus guys. Amen. Hallelujah. So just to understand that, and this is good for Larry today, is that to know, don't let the enemy get your brain back into the world. And that's true of everybody, every one of us, because we have a thought process that the enemy loves to put into us and says, okay, boy, you messed it up. Or you sinned, or you've really stepped away from the things of God in such a way that He's really not utilizing you anymore. No, every morning we wake up, and every morning this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a new day. It's a new day to talk. It's a new day to declare the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to everybody around you. It's a new day to walk into a place and say, oh, this is a great day. This is a beautiful day, a wonderful day. You know, yeah. How do you start a conversation? You know, you start a conversation by making a declaration that this is the best day ever. No, it's not. Well, why not? You know, open the door. Well, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be? Don't you know Jesus? Well, I don't know who. I don't know. You know, and so you open the door to begin to talk to somebody about what the Lord is doing in your life and what He wants to do in them. Amen? He wants to do something in everybody. He wants to do something in everybody. Over in John chapter 14, verse 6, or thereabouts, six is good. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Over in verse 16, John chapter 14, 16, Jesus is talking to the disciples. Here they are at the Last Supper. They're at the table. And Jesus is talking about the fact that He is going to be going away soon. Right? And I love this part. We'll just start with 6. And verse 8, Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long that you have not known me, Philip? I like that He says His name. I like that He says His name right there in the sentence, don't you? Have I been with you so long and you have not known me, Chad? Or David? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own, but my Father who dwells in me, He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall He do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now listen to what He says here in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Okay, there. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Okay, so there you have Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit as the one who is going to be your comfort, and the one who's going to be your helper, and the one who's going to transform and change you and move into the inside of you. He is with you now, there, you know, as they were moving along, and he shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit now is coming, and he's in you. He is in you. I know we know these things, but it's good to rehearse them, because your mind gets taken away by the things of this life, right? Because the enemy always likes to give you a new scenario of how God's wrong, right? I mean, he's got all kinds of episodes. It's kind of like Law and Order. Law and Order has been on TV for 21 years. How do those guys keep making up stories? And that's what they do. They just make up stories. They got writers in a writer's room making up stories. 21 years, 26 episodes a season. You know, and they're just, the devil's like that. He's got a new story, and to draw you in to the episode, whatever episode you're in, the enemy's got a new story to get you to follow along and to believe something other than what God said. Amen. Isn't that true?
Yep.
And if not you, your sister, your brother-in-law, your somebody, he's got something that he will throw out in front of you, and you will hit the brakes. We're driving over here this morning in the fog, and I didn't hit the brakes, but I saw up ahead, you know, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, that light turned yellow, you know, and you're traveling along about 60 miles an hour, you know, and so you gotta, and you hit the brakes because something happened that got thrown out in front of you, right? So you have that, and you have to know, you have to learn that this is a test of the enemy. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? Yeah, it's a temptation. It's a test. This is only a test. Is Jesus is saying, you're going to follow me, or the devil, is the devil going to get your goat today and take you all the way around this mountain, Mount Sinai, or some mountain? He's going to take you all the way around. You ever been taken around the block by the devil? You know? All of a sudden, I mean, you got wound up, freaked out, something happened, and you just went, oh my God, oh, you know? And it just took up a whole day. Or it might have taken up a week. It might have taken up a month, because you believed a lie that the devil said, here's how things is, and you really can't do anything about it. The truth is, from the day the enemy comes in with that lie, God's got an answer. And he's got the solution right there. Amen? And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, and that's what he does, he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him immediately by the Spirit that's dwelling in me. Amen. Oh, I love it. You know, and to remember this. Lord, let me remember it. Let me remember it. And have the truth. So Jesus is saying here is that, okay, this Holy Spirit, he's with you and shall be in you. Shall be in you. Both of these ought to be exciting. And all they're hearing is, Jesus says he's going away. Nuts. Oh, doggone it. You know, I thought we were just getting ready to have this thing happen. You know, we thought this was the meeting, because Jesus just rode in on the donkey, right? Jesus just rode in on the donkey last week. And, you know, we thought we had it in the bag. This is it. This is what's going to happen next. All of a sudden, Jesus says, they're going to kill me. And I'm going to go away. And I'm going to send this Holy Spirit. And you're going, so we get the sub, you know, we get the second string, you know, because they're thinking Jesus is, man, if Jesus is the Messiah, then why do we want to get second string? Why do we want to get just a spirit, you know? But they didn't understand that the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in each one of you, and you're going to take over the world because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. That is, you're going to go out, and it'll be like I'll be with you, and I'll be with you, and I'll be with you, and I'll be with you, all 12 guys. And I'm going to send you all over the world, to Judea, Samaria. It's be like Dallas, Fort Worth, and the rest of the world. That's a lot. You know, Dallas, Fort Worth. Oh, okay. Oh, as far as Fort Worth? Yeah, and, you know, and North America. Where's that? There were places that they didn't even know existed. They didn't even know America existed. You know that? I mean, they didn't even know America existed. God kept America a secret until 1492 from that part of the world. Isn't that amazing? This is just God's little secret. How many know God's got secrets? God's got little secrets that you don't know about. I have stuff held out, Willis, that you don't even know about yet. I've got them set aside. I got things set aside for you to do that I'm going to do in you. You know, I mean, you didn't know when you got married what your life was going to be. You didn't know what things were going to happen, Raul. You didn't know you're going to Alaska. You know, who could know? Who could know? Who could know what God has for you in the next day? But he has everything for you. You are his witness all over the world. So he says there in verse, and then in verse 26, look down there. Verse 25 says, these things have I spoken unto you while, this is chapter 14, John 14. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance, all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to my Father. My Father's greater than I. Now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you will believe. I no longer will talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. The ruler of this world, that's the devil, is coming, and he has nothing in me. He doesn't have any, there's no handles on me. Amen? And that's you too, because of the Holy Spirit. The devil doesn't have you. Oh, I think the devil got me. No, stop that. Stop even talking like that. No, the devil doesn't have you. The devil wants you to believe he's got you, but he doesn't. The devil wants Larry to believe that God, that he has him, but he doesn't. John 14 for the moment. So the devil doesn't have you. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, he said, the devil, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know, I think if Jesus prayed for me that my faith fail not, it won't. Because Jesus is a good prayer. Jesus is a good prayer. He knows how to pray. Amen? We'll read John, read something out of John 17. You can hear Jesus pray. You'll like it. It's really good. Okay, John 15, next chapter, 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness. There it is again. You will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. See, he said in first part of 16, he says, these things have I spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the, you could stumble because they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming to whoever kills you will think he does service to God. And they will do these things to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I've told you, that when the time comes, they may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. All right? Now look at chapter 16. What I'm doing is showing you how in John, at the dinner, at the Last Supper, Jesus gave them all these introductions to the Holy Spirit. You remember what we said is John had the Holy Spirit on him from his mother's womb. John did, John the Baptist. So that he could, and that he was going to be a witness to Jesus. So that's what the Holy Spirit does, is makes you a witness. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Now he's going to talk about the advantages. Oh, right before that he said, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. I go my way to him that sent me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Here's the truth, though. You know, sometimes your brain doesn't quite register.
Never happens.
Never happens? Praise God. Amen. Man speaking the truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Oh, Jesus, if you just stay around, we'll get this thing done, get the job done. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Mm-hmm. Of sin because they do not believe on me. That's the only sin. The only sin doesn't mean it's not a sin to kill somebody or do these things. But the sin that to be the only sin to deal with is the fact that do you or do you not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who forgives all your iniquities and all your sins, takes away the power of sin. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler or the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen. So that's how the Father is going to reveal. Jesus is going to reveal himself to you through the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this is a whole new concept for these guys, right? It's a whole new concept for these guys. That it's no longer going to be me walking with Jesus, you know, and hearing, you know, hearing the stories as we go. But it's going to be me and my brother or me and my wife or what, walking together with the Holy Spirit in us, walking with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the power of God. So God does this. And he opens that door. And he says, here's the Holy Spirit. Here's how we live. Amen. We don't just get saved and wait for heaven. But we are brought into the kingdom of heaven. And now we walk together with him. And he speaks to us. And as I said before, you know, the enemy also wants to speak to you, doesn't he? He wants to speak to you and give you other ideas and other thoughts that depress you and want to take you backwards and want to take you back into the world. And said, here. Only believe that, you know, Jesus is half, you know, of what he says he was. Or only believe what I tell you. Okay, in John 17, look over there. John 17, verse 8. And Jesus is praying to his Father. Now, here at the end of the supper, Jesus is going to pray for his disciples. He's going to pray for these men. For I have given them the words which you have given me. Chapter 17, verse 8 in John. I give them the words which you gave to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they believed that you have sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. Jesus is praying for you. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave to me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So his joy is fulfilled in you. I have given them your word, and the word has, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So did you know you're not of the world? Amen. You are not of the world. The Lord sent member of the 12 out and gave them power. And then he sent the 70 out and gave them power. And by the time they got to the upper room on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 in that room. So there were, Jesus just didn't pick the 12, right? But he was preparing an army of God. He was preparing you and me. So these are not just the disciples. The disciples were sent. But also he sent other 70. You remember that? And then in the upper room, he said they were all together in one accord. They were all together in one accord, in one place. And the Holy Spirit fell upon each of them. So it didn't fall upon 12, it didn't fall upon 70, it fell upon 120. Those who believe. So they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 16 here in chapter 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That's us. So Jesus, how about that? Jesus was praying for you. Right there in the upper room. He had you in mind. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Then in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, Jesus, after his resurrection, there in verse 2, it actually says he was taken up until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Okay, first commandment of Jesus, right? First commandment of Jesus after he's ready to go depart from this earth. He commanded them to wait. How many times do you like to wait? Do you ever hear the Holy Spirit say, wait, and you didn't? Huh? You ever hear the Holy Spirit say, wait, and you didn't? You should wait. Huh?
Jack turned the AC on and then he left.
Oh yeah, praise God. Yeah. Actually, he heard it was coming and he left ahead of time. He heard persecution was coming. So he left.
Supposed to heat us up.
Well, he knows the heat is coming. So he's giving you some relief ahead of time. Praise the Lord. He commanded them to wait, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Not many days from now. So he's on the mountain there, Mount of Olives, with them. He's up there with them. He said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then immediately, they changed the subject. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them,
golly,
it is not for you to know the times.
They still don't get it.
And said, no, they still didn't get it. Hey, are we still going to rule the world?
Are you still going to come and be king?
It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority, but you, then he immediately turns right around, goes back to what he, now as I was saying, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be, what are they going to be?
Witnesses.
Whoa, sounds just like John. Sounds just like, you know, Jesus at the dinner. And then here he is on the mountain, ready to go. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, that last one's a big step. And now when he was spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up to a cloud, received him out of their sight. And they looked and beheld, they're just looking. As they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up in the sky? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem. It's kind of like, oh yes. I guess he's not coming back down. So Jesus then took up into heaven. And the angel said, what are y'all doing? You're standing there looking up at the sky. What are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. And then he says, and when they entered the city of Jerusalem, the Sabbath day's journey, and they went into the upper room where they were staying, Peter and James and John and all these guys, and they continued, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. The women were there. They weren't outside. So the women prayed with them. Amen. Because they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so they continued. And of course, they're getting used to this idea of being led by the Holy Spirit. So first thing they do is they're going to replace Judas. So there's 12 of us, now there's 11. Let's cast lots. You know, the Holy Spirit God kind of go with you for a while. You know, go along with you for a little bit. You know, let's cast lots and see how we do on replacing it. So they got Matthias. I think Matthias or the other guy would fit, right? God would put them in the right place. It's like I said, you know, first thing when Pastor Jim went to heaven, we met together and decided to change the time of the service. What do you do? You know, your prophet left, the leader left. You know, you figure out, okay, guys, how are we going to hear the Lord? Change the service time. That should be safe.
That didn't work.
Well, it worked. It worked over there. It didn't work over here. You guys resisted. Praise the Lord. All right now. So he says here in Acts chapter, so he says to wait for the Holy Spirit. And how do they wait for him? In one accord. They waited for him in one accord and in prayer. Right? One accord and in prayer. Everybody write that down. One accord and in prayer. How do you wait for things? If Jesus tells you to wait, how do you wait? Pray. You wait in prayer. All right? Now, look over at Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Start with verse 1. And now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, they didn't know when it was coming, when the Holy Spirit was coming. They didn't know. There was a festival taking place, you know, there in town. All the people from all over the world were there, you know. Everybody from Phrygia and from France and from England and, you know, and from Germany and all over the place, you know, they were all there. And God usually takes opportunities like that and uses them pretty well. And so what he did was he's got them all in prayer. What are they doing? So they're in prayer in one accord, in one place, again. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Huh?
Judas is replacing it?
Yeah, they did that. They got that done. And then when suddenly there came from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, a sound, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, and see, that's what Jesus told him. He says, wait until you be endued with power. Wait until you receive the promise of the Father. So they did. They waited. And they prayed. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. How many of them?
120.
Well,
about.
Right there it says all. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave the words. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Everyone heard them speak. Everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and all marveled at one another. Look, are these not all Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? So, and he says, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. I believe the miracle was in the hearing.
Yeah,
I believe they were praying in other tongues. The Bible said they were praying in unknown tongues. Yet they heard, each man, each person heard them as a them all speaking Phrygian. No, they're not, because they all know, because when they come to Jerusalem, all these people from all over the world know how to speak. They communicate with each other. They know how to speak Greek or Aramaic. They know how to communicate in, like, in the local lingo, so they can communicate. Oh yeah, they're speaking they're speaking my language. They're speaking French. They're speaking German. They're speaking this one. He said, no, they're speaking mine. No, they're speaking mine. In fact, they're speaking just like Grandma used to speak to me. My little select dialect. See, the Holy Spirit was speaking to them in a language that emotionally grabbed them. They're speaking to me like my grandma would speak to me. In our own tongues, wherein we were born. The wonderful works of God. So God was reaching to them, speaking to them, and by people that don't even know their language. Because if it's people that you don't even know, who's speaking to you? God. So God is speaking to you. Amen. All right, so that's the first instance of the experience. And then while he has our attention, Peter stands up in the midst and begins to tell about the story of Jesus. How the leaders and the rulers of the synagogues, rulers of the Judaism, took him and crucified him. But that he died for them. All right, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 17. So there, they had been arrested, and that they had Peter and John had been arrested. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they'd been with Jesus. And this is after the man who had been healed. And so he says, walking and leaping and praising God right there at the temple gate, the lame man. And he says, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them. That's verse 16, sorry. Is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Well, there you go. But so it spreads no further among the people. Let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people. And since they were all glorified God for the miracle that had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions, verse 23, and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, what did they do? They raised their voice to God with one accord. Here they go.
Praise the Lord.
I guess we ought to be praying, lifting our voices to God in one accord. Yeah. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what do? Lift your voice to God in one accord and pray. You pray together. You pray together.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Ghost, you pray together.
Amen.
How powerful is that?
Hallelujah.
Said, and said, here's what they said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and why did the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before it to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants with that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought they were filled before. Well, apparently, when you pray, you get filled again. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. And what does it say about verse 32? It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. And neither did any of the things that they say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. I'm going to talk about a couple of stories here, and then we'll quit. Over in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, of course, you have the story of Cornelius and the story of Peter. Now, Cornelius was a man who was a soldier in the Roman army. He was stationed there in Israel. But he was a man who feared God, a man who prayed, and a man who gave alms to the poor. He cared for the people under his command. This is like a person who is a leader who's selected to be over and to care for a certain area of the city or the state or whatever it might be. It'd be the elected official. In your case, you get to elect them. Amen. But this guy has had a love for the people. This is the kind of guy you want in charge. So if you have the ability to influence who's in charge, you should do it. Amen. Because you want the people to be blessed and not cursed and not stolen from. Amen. So here this Cornelius is, he's praying and he prays. And the Lord, you know, it's important to pray. So when he's praying, an angel of the Lord comes and stands before him and says, we've heard your prayers. And I want you to... So this guy's a Gentile. So he fears God, God Almighty. It's like they used to pray in our public schools, God Almighty. But you may not know the name of Jesus. But God Almighty, we acknowledge you. So he's... coming, and the angel comes and says, hey, I want you to call for this guy. I want him, y'all to meet. I want you and this guy, Peter, Simon Peter, I want you to meet. So he sends Simon Peter. I'm not going to read the whole story. But he sends messengers to Simon Peter, says, hey, God sent an angel to me and said, call for you, and you'll tell me everything I need to know. Well, Peter, in the meantime, was getting a message from the Lord saying, don't hesitate to speak to the Gentiles. He saw that sheet come down with all kinds of unclean things. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, oh, Lord, I would never eat unclean stuff. And he says, don't call what I've called clean unclean. Three guys are coming. You go with them. So they show up at the door. Next morning, they head out to where was he? So he was in, Peter was in Joppa, you know. That's where he was. And so he was in Caesarea. Caesarea. So he goes from Joppa to Caesarea with these guys, and then he walks in the door, and there's a whole group of people. So Cornelius talks about, hey, here's what happened, and here now is everybody to hear whatever you have to say. And Peter gives a very short message. He's just getting started, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls on all of them. How could they tell? Because they all spoke with tongues. But these are all Gentiles. They don't even know anything about Moses. They don't know anything about anything. All they know is there's a guy coming in here who talked about the Jesus is the Savior of the world. And if you put faith in His name, He'll receive you. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them, because faith rose up in all of them. Faith rose up in all of them, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. And then they began to speak in other tongues. And everybody who was with Peter, all the Jewish believers who'd already received the Holy Spirit, they were like guffawed. Right. I've been looking for a way to use that word. You know, they were like, oh, what just happened? How can you do that? God, did you not know who these guys are? These guys are unclean. Now, Peter knew better, but these guys who were with Peter, they were like, what just happened? So that what? He didn't know what just happened. That's a noisy door. Oh, we have a key there. Yeah, no, just wait. I'll just wait while Janet comes back in. So the Holy Spirit fell on all these Gentiles, right? So how powerful that God introduced Jesus to everybody.
Amen.
You know, when there, after the Jesus entered into Jerusalem, right, on the donkey and what all, there were a bunch of Greeks who showed up and came and asked the disciples, they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. And all of a sudden Jesus says, now's the time when the Son of Man is going to be glorified. What does that mean? The Son of Man is going to be crucified. He said, when the Gentiles start asking questions, that's when it's time for me to leave and time for the Holy Ghost to come. And then finally, in Acts chapter 17, I'm going to look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 15. Paul had been doing on one of his missionary journeys. He'd been to Thessalonica, and they didn't like him too much, and they chased him out of there. And then they went to Berea, and then they went on to Berea. And Bereans, you've heard about the Bereans. They're asking whether or not these things are true. You know, they checked the scripture day and night to see if the things were true. And then people from Thessalonica came from there to Berea to chase Paul down there. And then all of a sudden they packed him up and they sent him off to Athens. Well, Athens, like Austin. You know, it's the capital of Greece. It's like the capital of Texas. And where everybody, all they do is just wonder about some new thing to talk about, whether boys can be girls. You know, they'd be talking about stuff like that, right? That's what they'd be talking about there in Athens. Now, verse 16 says, while Paul waited for them at Athens, it was because he had called for Timothy and Silas to come with all speed, and they headed down there from Berea. Now, while Paul waited for them, the Spirit provoked him, you ever been provoked by the Spirit? Huh? You should be provoked by the Spirit. His Spirit provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. And therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. So here they are in this place that is not a Jewish place at all. Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? You know, I mean, you know, you get down there, you get down to some of these places, you go to California, you know, you're like, Dan, you go to California, you know, you just like, Texas, if you're from Texas, you just, you know, like Dorothy, you know, and we're not in Texas anymore. You know, all kinds of weird stuff, crazy things going on. You know, people with spiked hair, people with purple hair. You know, of course, they brought that here now. You know, but back in the old days, you know, Janet and I went to, I'll make this quick. We went to the Olympics back in 1984. And we went out on a mission trip in America, a mission trip to the Olympics to share the gospel during the Olympics out there in Los Angeles. And I mean, boy, the people we did see in 1984, the people we did see out on the Sunset Strip, witnessing out on the Sunset Strip. And so we were out there, and you saw all kinds of crazy things out there in California. All right? So there they were. They were out there. And he says, what is this babbler? They say, what does this babbler want to say? And he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods. And this is verse 19 now. And they took him and they brought him to Areopagus. This is the place where you share this stuff, which is a Mars hill. And they took him up there and brought him to Areopagus. May we know what this new doctrine is that you're speaking of. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, said those people. Of course, Paul looked at them and they thought, well, you're strange yourself. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all, you know, there are people in this world never heard of the name of Jesus. People in your state, people in your city, right now, right here. Because they never pray Almighty God in school anymore. The children used to hear the name of Almighty God, but they don't hear that anymore. Now you have generations of children who don't even know that there's a God in heaven. They don't even know that there's a God above. We want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Sounds like the internet. Amen. Sounds like YouTube. They spent all their time in no other pursuit other than to hear or find out about some new thing. Doesn't that sound like our world? I mean, you can click on YouTube and find about anything. And then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, I know him. It says, him I proclaim to you. The guy you don't know, I know him. Of course, you know, basically they've got theirs up there just in case they missed one. To the unknown God, just in case. It's like, you know, our dedication to the unknown soldier, to the one we don't know. All the men, all the soldiers who we want to honor, but, you know, we don't know them individually. Here this is to the unknown God, just in case. better make something for him so he doesn't get mad at you. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, I know him. God, who made the world and everything in it. So he's telling them who this God is that they don't know. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not need temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed something or anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood, that's a good one, that's a good message, every nation of men to dwell upon the face of the earth. Well, they're better off. They got better doctrine than we do. Amen. He made of one blood all men on the face of the earth. Well, there you go. The Bible's not racist, is it? and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him, now listen to this, this is so powerful. You know, we kind of, as charismatics, we kind of think of this as kind of living in the Spirit. But here He says this, He's in this sermon to the Gentile unbelievers. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Introducing to them the God of heaven who made all who live and breathe. For in Him we live and we move and we have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly these times of ignorance God winked at or overlooked, but now commands every man everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear from you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some joined themselves to him and believed. Among them, Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. The Holy Spirit led Paul into the presence of unbelievers, into the presence of those who didn't even know the promises of Abraham. These are people who had no understanding of the covenants of God, yet God was after them. He says to them, He is not far from every one of you. I love this story because it shows how you go into a place that doesn't even know the name of God, or they know the name of all gods. It's our world. It's our world today, that all over the world, people don't even know that we have hundreds and hundreds of gods. And many have never heard of the name of Jesus. Yet you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that whole world has now come to us. That whole world of unbelievers is here in the United States. Is here in the city of Dallas. Is here in your neighborhood. And you're prepared because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So God is going to show you how to reach them because you're a witness. This is the gospel of God to the world. Well, the world has come nigh unto you. This is our day. We have the revival going on in places like Asbury, and which Alex went and visited to see what was happening. I think they closed it down the day you got there, or the day before you got there. Had to go back to
class. I was able to get in. So there was they wanted to slow
things down. Yeah, they wanted to go back to class.
So I was able to get in. They had evening services that the public could access.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's across the street.
Yes.
The younger people could go in.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
So it's powerful. Is that? But God's doing that, and then God showed up all over the country. Amen. In Fort Worth, we started that about 2 weeks ago. Before the news story broke on the Asbury, we had it in our hearts to do a night worship service at the Fort Worth building, because we have a building, and it's free. So the Lord is moving in every place. Father, we thank You for moving in us, in our church, our fellowship, our cities, our colleges, that those who have never heard the name of Jesus before, it's brand new to them. And some mocked, but some believed. Father, we thank you that you're reaching the world, you're reaching our town. And we thank you that you will show us as we pray together in one accord, what shall we do? Yes. Father, we pray that the place that we pray will be shaken. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, which expanded the ministry of the church exponentially to bring your power and your love through Jesus Christ to the world. We love the world. We love all men. We give you praise. Father, cause us to walk together in one accord. Thank you for the meetings that we do have. Father, for the house churches we have. We thank you that you will lead us and cause them to explode in great power and ministry to the local communities and then send others out. And we give you glory and praise, O God, Father, for your power and your witness. We thank you for the Word of God, which declares to us Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We give you glory and praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and thank Him. Father, we worship you. Father, we do praise you. Let's lift our voices together. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Don't wait on me. You lift our voices to God. Oh God, we love you. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for bringing to pass the gospel all over our city and our nation, our state, our families, our churches, our meetings. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, we thank you for baptizing all those who receive in the baptism with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that they may know what it is to live in your presence, to experience the power of God, that they may be endued with power from on high, that they may pray in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, and that we might declare the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah.